Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Somebody get the pastor's attention over there. We're in the middle of just getting, yeah. We're good. Now that you're just standing, as soon as the pastor stands up, we can get started here. Would we all stand, please? Going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. Okay. Hallelujah. It's great to see you all here this morning. This is good. Okay. Father God, we do come before your throne. And Lord, we gather together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We invite you to be here with us, to walk amongst us, to touch our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Lord, we are here to give honor, to give praise, to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So please, join with us that we might celebrate this day in the name of our Savior, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You never know what happens when your eyes are closed. Somebody may sneak up on you. So before we do our opening prayer, there is somebody very special in our church who had a birthday yesterday. So we are going to sing happy birthday to her. So let us all join together. It's Melissa's birthday, or was yesterday, March 1st. So let's sing happy birthday to Melissa.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Melissa. Happy birthday to you.
Yay!
Yes, yes. Made by somebody who still bakes. Mine would be store-bought. I don't bake anymore. Okay, well. But it was so great. It was so cool because everybody was making sure, because, you know, I told you I need help with birthdays and everything. And so I happened to, your birthday is on Facebook, so it let me know on my phone, you know, my smartphone. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I put it in my calendar too. And then I, you know, made the slide right away. And then I said happy birthday on Facebook to you. And then I after jail ministry, right before I went to jail ministry, then Evelyn, I was talking to Evelyn, and then she let me know. And then, so then I go to jail ministry. When I come out of jail ministry, then Pastor Janet texts me, hey, you know, it's Melissa's. And then I was talking to Chris because of Evelyn being sick and Jonathan being sick and not being here today. So I was asking her to lead up the life journal. And so she let me know. So I was like, thank you, Lord, because, you know, you never know when I don't know. And so I was like, yes, you keep it coming. Keep me reminding me so that, you know, we don't miss. So it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I know. You were just so covered, girl. I mean, we were not going to miss your birthday. So it was so neat. So anyways. No, this is like a mega surprise. So cool.
Yay. You just say happy birthday to Melissa.
Yeah, we just say happy birthday to Melissa. So we're just getting started. So, well, God is awesome, isn't he? And I'm like excited about today's message, but I just see the enemy attacking people that are not here today because of illness. And it's like, Lord. You know, I talked to Jerry Ann earlier. She's been struggling, and Margaret's been struggling with health issues, and I was praying that God, you know, help them to be able to be here, and they wanted to, and so it's just been, we just need to pray. And then, of course, Pastor-to-be Evelyn, she's at emergency, and they're going to do that treatment to her lungs, and hopefully she'll be breathing good again. And Jonathan's not well. He's really sick, and that throat, and, you know, and Debbie's under the weather, and so, you know, it's like, oh, we need to just claim the healing power of Jesus. So, but I know there's going to be a breakthrough here real, real soon where we're going to see it. Like, yeah, speak it and it's done. So, but let's read together out loud, or say together out loud, John chapter 10, verse 32, and it's the first part of that verse from the Amplified, and then John chapter 14, verses 12 and 13 from the New King James Version. Jesus said to them, "My Father has enabled me to do many good deeds. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Amen. Praise God.
Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your presence already. We ask you to bless these tithes and offering, God, that we have given back to you, God, that you would just press them down, shake them, God, and multiply them, God, for the further of your kingdom, for your glory, for your honor. God, we thank you for all the givers that we have, and even those that are not able to give, God. We ask you to bless them still. Because you know the condition of their hearts, God. We just thank you, God. Because we know that you love a cheerful giver, God. And we're all cheerful givers, God, to the kingdom of God. Again, we ask you to bless this offering, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm a little challenged there. Well, that reminds me of the City Psalms night. And that last group, we were dancing in the aisles. It was wonderful. And this was very much like it. You just can't sit still. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Well, since Pastor to be Evelyn isn't here, I've been asked to pray over the offering. So, Lord, we do offer this to you. And, Lord, we know that this is just a small token of what we... It isn't even a small token. It's less than that. We owe you everything. Everything we have, everything we are, we owe it all to you. But we lift these financial offerings up, Lord, and we ask that you would multiply them and that they would be used as you want them to be used, Lord. That they wouldn't be set aside to just sit, but they would be used, Lord, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that Foursquare is a missions-minded denomination, and that a portion of this will go to them for missions, and a portion will go to keep the church running, Lord. You know, it does take money to keep things going, and we thank you for this. We thank you that we are able to meet with no real persecution. We thank you that we are part of this wonderful country, this wonderful city, this little village out here, Catalina. We just thank you, Lord, for being our God and caring about everything we care about. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
So as you soak in that for a moment, Jesus is the way. He is the life. He is the resurrection. He is your all. You're redeemed because of what he did for you on the cross. So at this time, I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to seek inside you, to search inside you. If there's anything that you need to confess, repent of, then go before the Lord in your mind and go before him and repent. To prepare your heart to receive what Jesus did for you as we take this communion in the Lord's Supper, this time of remembering what he did for us. So prepare your hearts right now before the Lord. Take a few moments to do so. On that night, the last night, the Lord's Supper, he took the bread. And this was, we all know, before he went to be on the cross, and he's with his disciples, and he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says, "This represents my body that was broken for you." And then he instructs that when you do this, when you partake of this, do this in remembrance of me. So may each of us have the hearts as we receive this together, thanking him and praising him for what he did for us. That his body was broken for our iniquities. He was crushed for our iniquities. And we just thank him and praise him. His stripes, we are healed. His body was broken. His flesh was ripped open for us. And we thank him and praise him for what he did for us, for the price he paid with his body. So, Lord, we lift this up to you right now, and we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for what you did for us, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And let us partake together. Thank you for what you did for us. And we thank you for this time of being able to take this This grape juice represents your blood that was shed on the cross for each and every one of us, for all mankind. You bore on the cross everyone's sins, and you died for that. Your blood is that propitiation, atoning us of all of our sins, all the wrongdoings. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that blood that cleanses us, that washes us whiter than snow. So after the supper, Lord Jesus, when you took the cup and you said, drink this in remembrance of me, this represents the new covenant we're under. We thank you and praise you that we are under this new covenant. And we are yours, Lord Jesus. We are yours. And we thank you and praise you for what you have done for us, for the power of your blood. So we partake together, Lord Jesus, in thanking you and praising you for what you did for us. Thank you for the power in this time of communion with you, Lord, the Lord's Supper. We thank you and praise you for this. Thank you.
I'd like to really encourage you to see Son of God. You saw it Friday night. It's incredible. And encourage others to go see it. Yeah.
Thank you. Along those lines of encouraging you to go see that movie, The Son of God, also remember for those that some like to follow, like the Lent, and Ash Wednesday is on March 5th. And so, like, if you want to go to Bible Gateway, they have, you know, a Bible reading program. And so, you know, if this is something you enjoy to do and just kind of helps prepare you for remembering that wonderful day of Resurrection Sunday, the day when the Lord was raised again from the dead for us, the power of what most of us know and called as Easter, but the power of what that truly represents, the power of the resurrection. And so if you want to do that, I just recommend that, you know, there's resources at the Christian bookstore, but Bible Gateway has a couple of resources you could go to too if you want to. Some people like to fast during this time, give up a little something during this time. You know, follow what the Lord has for you to do, the Holy Spirit. Just see how the Holy Spirit does, because we don't want it to be a religious thing. We want it to be a relationship thing. And this is in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we are entering a very precious time, as soon we will be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But this message is entitled Enabled by the Lord. And I just felt that we were supposed to do the Lord's Supper before. And because by the Lord's Supper, by what Jesus did, and remembering through the Lord's Supper, we're remembering what we're enabled to be and do. We have all the fullness of our Heavenly Father. That is ours. But sometimes we're not really walking in that fullness and in that power, are we? We talked about putting on the armor of God each and every day last week, and that's something that is given to us by the Lord. That is the Lord. We're putting on the Lord in a sense every day. And so this is incredibly important for each of us. Now, of the words that we were given, power, and the acronym that we had, provided only with enabled responsibility. So we've gone over provide, we've gone over only, we've gone over with, but today we're going to go over enabled. And remember, we have that Bible verse, Acts 1:8. That is something that I encourage you to memorize on your own, whatever version you want to memorize it in. I encourage you to memorize that on your own. But just remember that we have that power. And we need to wait for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, and then be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because we want to be in God's perfect will and God's perfect way and God's perfect timing. We are enabled. I would like you to take your Bibles and go to John chapter 14. I have it in the big print, but I feel I just want to read it from the Bible this time. So I'm putting on the reading glasses to help me. Thank you, God, for reading glasses. Thank you, God, that we have those available. Now, I know many of you have read John 14, but we're going to read it again because there's such power in the Word. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Do you remember in Philippians 4, 6, it talks about be anxious for nothing. We need to not be anxious, and we need to not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Remember in the song, I am the way, the truth, and the life, as he will say in a minute. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Now, there are some religions like the Quran that are saying that they are the truth, and they are not the truth. Jesus is the truth. And as we know in John 1, it says that the truth, the flesh of Jesus, I mean, the Word, Jesus, became flesh. So this is Jesus. This, as 2 Timothy 3:16, is Spirit-breathed. It is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. So this is Jesus. This is the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, through me. If you had known me, and remember this is Jesus talking, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, it's kind of like he's not totally and completely probably tuned in at this point, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Now Jesus had just said, well, if you know me, you know my Father. Like, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. He just said that, and then Philip's going, okay, well, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. He just explained how to show him. So Jesus, though, doesn't say, I just told you. He doesn't say that. Out of love and compassion in a heart, he goes, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." The Father who dwells in me does the works. He says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." It just says "in me" in the New King James, but I'm, you know, emphasizing. "Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. They've seen many miracles. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me," this is Jesus speaking, "the works that I do, he will do also." What does he say? "The works that
I do what? We will do also, right? So I want you to say, the works that he does, I will do also. Say that right now. The works that he does, I will do also. You're claiming that right now. You just had the anointing. You just took the power of the blood, the power of the body that was broken. You have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So what? The work that he does, I will do also. We are speaking his truth. It's not ours. It's what the Father said. We are speaking his truth. Amen. And greater works than these he will do. We will do even greater works. Is that like cool or what? I mean, that's our God. I mean, is that like humble or what? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus had done all this mighty stuff on earth. Miracles that was like blowing people's minds. And like here we are. We are blessed because of what he did for us to be able to do even greater than he did. And whose glory is it for? For the Father's glory. It's like, it's just so neat to see Jesus humbling himself. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, and this is not Iscariot, not the one that betrayed. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We are his temples. We are his place where he makes his dwelling. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The words which we hear are the Father's who sent him. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in Jesus' name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. As the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. As the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Jesus spoke what the Lord told him to speak. His heavenly Father told him to speak. He spoke what he was instructed to speak. He did what his Father told him to do, what he saw in heaven. That's why in the prayer that we see in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, the example of how to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom. We will see that here. We were singing that in the worship songs. Jermaine, before we prayed, he prayed and he said about, we are the temples of the Lord. We are the Lord's, where the Lord can be in us and manifest himself and help others to see. See, when others see us, they see an example, or should see an example of Jesus. Because we may be the only Bible in the sense that others see. We may be the only Jesus quote, you know, in his image. We're supposed to be transformed into his image. So the only Christian should be shining brightly for the Lord and being that example. Being willing when we blow it, because we are not perfect. So when being willing to go and humble ourselves and go and repent and ask for forgiveness to those, maybe when we've accidentally raised a voice and maybe not responded in a way that's loving way, kind of like needs some repentance. And some feelings have been hurt. But Jesus died for us to be able to move in the power of his forgiveness in our lives, and the power to be able to extend that forgiveness to others who hurt us. I mean, is there anybody here who hasn't been hurt? I know I have been. Do I see one hand being raised that somebody, you have not been hurt? I meant been hurt, not been hurt. You've been hurt. Yeah. Okay, everybody raise their hands that have been hurt. And raise your hand that's not been hurt. I mean, like, not one of us can raise our hand that's not been hurt. All of us have been hurt at some point in time. But we need to remember that this peace that the Lord gives to us is not like the world gives. And that's said in John 16:33. He says, in this world you'll have trouble, you'll have tribulation. And we all can relate to that. I mean, even a two-year-old has trouble and tribulation. I mean, when somebody takes their toys, that's mine. I mean, it's a tragic thing. It's a heavy duty, and it can be very traumatic, and temper tantrums can happen because they're still working out on that sharing issue that God wants us to do. So two-year-olds can have trauma and tribulation and trials too. And so can we, at whatever age we're at. We all have our challenges. But the Lord says in John 16:33, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in 1 John 4:4, we have that wonderful verse, that promise to us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we need to be walking in that peace. But I don't know about you, but I have failed in that. I'm not always perfect in that. But that doesn't mean for me to just give up. Just say, okay, well, I blew it. So, forget it. No, Jesus is saying, just repent and then come back. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He broke the yoke of slavery. And he wants us to carry his yoke, which is very,
light and easy to bear. For he is the one that's taking the main bear. And he's just taking us in the passenger seat, so to speak. If we let him have the driving wheel. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I think what happens is some of us like to be backseat drivers or assistant passenger side drivers. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've kind of like noticed that I didn't realize it, and I'm not really realizing that I'm not totally in my peace zone. And then all of a sudden, I just noticed that I was like reaching over and taking the wheel, and I just didn't realize I was doing that. And then once you recognize your hands on the wheel, maybe even kind of scooting him over, and it's a bench seat, and you're kind of like, you know, got your foot on the pedal or the brake, and you're just kind of like, you know, oh, you didn't realize. You're kind of like taking over, right? So it's like, and Jesus kind of go, will you scoot over? Because I'm trying to, like, I want the controls. I really do, but I'm not going to force you. And so, and then sometimes we may have taken him and said, didn't realize we kind of pushed him out the door, and we're taking over. And he's there waiting for us to pull over and say, I'm sorry, and get back in to the passenger side and let him drive. Because that's where the power is. The power is in the name, and the power is him to be our Lord and our Master in control. He's saying that's where it is, because he gave that perfect example of he obeyed the Father, and that's where the great works and signs and wonders were. His heart was totally surrendered to the Lord. His heart was his, and he did what the Father told him to do. And he said what the Father told him to say. And the Father would tell him what to do by what he would see in the kingdom. And the Lord has given us eyes to see. And the Lord has given us ears to hear. So Lord, right now, I just pray that right now you will touch us in a fresh new way. That you will touch our eyes to truly see. And you will touch our ears to truly hear what the Spirit is speaking to us, because we thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are now at the right hand of the throne of our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who will teach us all things, who will remind us of everything you have said, Lord Jesus, who will guide us into all the truth, as John 16, 13 through 15 talks about, who will tell us of even things to come. And we thank you and praise you that you will show us things, that you will reveal to us things. But Lord, may we have surrendered hearts as your surrendered servants, humbly before you, sold out for you, just yours, completely yours as Jesus was completely yours, trusting you no matter what. May we be yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus, touching each one. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 3 through 4, it says, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, well, I'm saying, hear, O pathway of hope. Today, you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. Amen. For the Lord your God is with you. He is with you. He is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies. He is the one that will save you. For Jesus died for us, right? He died for us, and his blood redeemed us. We have the power of the blood. We have the power of the name. We have the power of his body that was broken for us. We have the power of the resurrection with us each and every day when Jesus truly is our personal Lord and Savior. But sometimes that takes a little bit more of humbling and repenting again. And that's okay, because Jesus said, I'm here. I'm ready. I was just waiting for you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. Because why? The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen.
And the peace of God, which transcends, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds through and in Christ Jesus. We need to remember that we're not alone. Remember last week, we went over Joshua 1, right? Chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, the last part of verse 9, it says, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this week, were you walking, claiming that territory? Every step you took is the Lord's. And you have the authority of his name, the authority and the power of his peace, that no matter what's going on. Because anybody that's messing with you is messing with God. Because you're God's child. Anybody that was messing with his son was messing with God. But God had a plan and a purpose. So they thought, hey, we're taking care of this problem with Jesus. But no, that was all in God's perfect plan. And what Jesus did for us, now we can walk in that power. So others may be going, look at what we've caused. Look at what we've done. And then God's saying, no, 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 no. I got that covered. Because I've got Romans 8:28 totally covering the power of the word. That no matter what happens, I can work it out together for good because they love me. They are called according to my purpose. And my purpose is to love me, to obey me, and to love others. And they have that heart that wants that. That's desiring. So I am going to work this out together for their good because they are my sons. They are my daughters. So you may be thinking you're messing with them, but I'm allowing you to mess with them only to be able to bring glory to me because I will shine brightly and I will strengthen them and I will help them through these challenges and these trials and these tribulations. That's why we can rejoice always. That's why we can be of good cheer, as Jesus says, because we are overcomers. We already are walking in the victory. At least we should be. It says in that last verse, but the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Do you remember John 13:35? And it was a little bit before this, right? The chapter before. They will know you are my disciples because you love one another. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that all the time, are we, in the church? With other Christians, with other ministries. But he doesn't stop there to just love one another as far as other Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. To learn to forgive and extend that forgiveness because they are human too. But he says in Mark 12:31, I love this one because this is the one that says, love your neighbor as yourself. But it says, first off, love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with your whole being, your mind, your soul, your strength, your heart, all of you. Love him, love him, love him. And then it goes on, Mark 12:30-31, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the second and greatest commandment. But it talks about that right before in verse 29, that the Lord God is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can love, but only by the power enabling us to be able to love. In and of ourselves, it was not going to be easy because God even talks about, he goes, wait a minute. Remember in 1 John 4, I loved you first. That's why I sent my son. Not because of your love. Because our love, the best perfect love that you can think of anybody who has is like awesome when the love part. Well, they're imperfect. And somewhere, some way you're going to see that they're imperfect. Do you remember some of us that have had those ooey gooey feelings? Of when you're in love. You're first in love. And then comes the tragic moment. When you find out. That. That perfect love. Is not so perfect. And it's kind of devastating sometimes. And you kind of go, okay, well.
you still got those ooey gooey feelings helping you with that imperfect love that you have. Only to eventually those ooey gooey feelings kind of like aren't so ooey gooey anymore, because that perfect love that you thought is not so perfect, and it kind of wears down. And then you love. And then you have to really kind of like keep forgiving to love, because it takes an effort to love that imperfect person that you once saw was like the perfect person of love. They're just so incredibly awesome and great. But the one who is so incredibly awesome and great, the one who is the perfect love, is the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the one that we need to have those ooey gooey feelings for all the time. He's the one that if you've lost that first love, like, wow, I am so safe, Jesus. I mean, do you know what Jesus did for me? It's like so cool. I remember hearing the testimony of a drug addict one time, and he became a Christian, and he was picking up his friend, and they were going to go get some drugs and dealing, and the guy had received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then he's going, man, you blankety blank got to know this blankety blank, because Jesus, man, blankety blank died for you. And Jesus, man, blankety blank. I mean, it's so cool because he blankety blank died for us, and he blankety blank loves us. And like, wow, dude, I'm not going to go and buy those blankety blank drugs. We're going to tell him about blankety blank Jesus, because Jesus died for him. Now, obviously, he was not one that was delivered of his blankety blank at that moment. Some people are. Some people get saved, and boy, their swearing is just gone. And it's like, but it was like so cool to hear that testimony that he had Jesus as Lord. And he was like, dude, I can't sell the drugs anymore. Man, Jesus did this for me. And he was like on fire and in love for the Lord. God would work on the blankety blank eventually and help that to be removed. But at least he didn't go to get the drugs and sell them. Praise God. And he was in love and on fire with the Lord Jesus, who had died for him. He knew his hope was heaven. He knew he was on the right pathway of hope. He knew that Jesus was his source, and he was no longer bound for hell. He was bound for heaven. And he was enabled to be able to tell his friend, even using blankety blank, about Jesus. And then his friend started searching. And eventually his friend became a Christian. The power of the Lord Jesus enables us to impact the lives of others and to help others that are in a darkness and in a pit. Enabled says, supplied with sufficient power, physical, moral, or legal. And enabling is the active act. But I chose enabled because of the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. It's done. So that power is there. And that power is actually constantly going. But we are enabled, and so we can be enabling. We are walking in that power. The enable means give someone or something the authority or means to do something. Synonyms are like allow, permit, let, give, the means, equip, empower, make able, or make possible, facilitate, authorize, entitle, qualify. We are qualified. We are soldiers for Christ. We are sons of the living God, and we have the stamped authority to be able to move mountains by the name of Jesus, to be able to remove strongholds by the name of Jesus, to be able to help the blind to see and set the captives free by the name of Jesus. The power of his blood, that's in us, that enables us to walk in that. Now, there was another one that had a computer type. And it's definition. It says to cause a feature or capability of a computer to be active or available for us. Well, I remember one time going to a family And a friend had asked me, and she said, you know, can you go to this family? And they were mainly Catholic. And so I went to the family, and a son had died. They had found out a son had died from a car accident. He was in his young 20s. And so the family was grieving. And so I went over there, and I was going, Lord, okay, I'm not Catholic. How do I handle this? You know, but we all know you. So I went in there, and then I was telling them in this time to, there is going to be a grieving and mourning time, but the Lord is your source. And I said, you know what, there's an awesome devotional grieving that Pastor Janet had told me about when her granddaughter went to be with the Lord. And it helped me when I was going through some grieving in the past with Tally and with my mother-in-law when she passed away. And I was telling them, and they said, no, we don't have internet access. And then the gentleman pointed, and they had a large family Bible and a podium. And he goes, that's our internet. I go, amen. That is so cool. I mean, this is our computer. This is our knowledge and our source. I mean, this is the best Googling you could ever do. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will reveal to us. He has given us eyes to see and ears to hear. So you've got the best Google internet access ever. The all-wise computer. The Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord God will empower us to do all things. So we also, remember, have those apps on our phones of Jesus knowing what to do and when to, where to go. But we have an incredible computer right here. The source of our internet, the source of the power of prayer, the source of the power of Holy Spirit will enable us to do what we need to do, to be able to make us, to supply us with power and physical and moral, to be able to make us all that God wants us to be and what was needed at that moment, to furnish us with that sufficient power and the ability, with that legal authority that we have in Jesus' name. That's why we walk in, everywhere we walk, we have that territory. It is ours. The New Century Version of John 14:13 says, and if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you, so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. God's Word translation says, I will do anything you ask the Father in my name, so that the Father will be given glory because of the Son. The NIV, this is the one that I had memorized, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. But the NLT, I like this one too. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Jesus did the work so that we can then do the work because we've been given that enabled authority and power. And the responsibility is unto the Lord and for His glory, just as Jesus was. He does what His Father told Him to do. He did what His Father showed Him to do. He said what His Father told Him to say. So, keeping and continuing with the visions given for Pathway of Hope. Remember, loving God, loving others, nothing more, nothing less. We exist to glorify God by being a Spirit-filled people empowered by Him to do His perfect will in this imperfect world. We will glorify God as we love, trust, and obey Him in helping the blind to see, to know the truth and set the captives free by being a light for Him in the community. Yes, yes. As we do this, we will glorify God. And we will not only help them in this community, but in way beyond, so that they too can be with Him for all eternity. Just as that young man was saying, blankety blank, Jesus saved me. I need to tell you about Him. He knew that even though the Lord was going to help him with the language that he was using, he still was heaven bound because Jesus' blood covered him. And we need to remember that. We need to continue to believe. We need to continue to remember there is a harvest and God wants us to help and use us as His vessels, His instruments for that harvest. We need to reach them. We need to receive from the Lord and then we will move out in His power. The message of John 14:13 says, from now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. And then it goes on to say, I mean it. Have you ever had somebody say that? No, I really, seriously, I mean it. I like so mean it. Like, yes, I mean it. Or have you ever said, man, I mean it. Dude, don't mess with me. I mean it. Well, yeah. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. But there are many who don't know this power and aren't walking in this power. Christians and non-Christians. Some are like in a pit. Well, I want to read to you something I heard. And it's called The Pit. I heard Christine Kane share this. It's by somebody anonymous. A man fell into a pit and could not get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person came along and said, it's logical that someone would fall down there in a pit. A Christian scientist came along and said, you only think you are in a pit. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into the pit. A newspaper reporter wanted the exclusive story on the pit. A fundamentalist said, you deserve your pit. Confucius said, if you had listened to me, you wouldn't be in the pit. Buddha said, your pit is just a state of mind. A realist said, that's a pit. A scientist calculated the pressure necessary per pound and square inch to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata in the pit. A tax man asked him if he was paying taxes on the pit. The county inspector asked him if he had a permit to dig the pit. An evasive man came along and avoided the subject of the pit altogether. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. A charismatic said, just confess you are not in the pit. An optimist said, things could get worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. And Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, knelt down and reached and helped the man out of the pit. That is what he has called us to do. The power that he's given us. He pulled us out of the pit of hell by the blood that he shed on the cross. By the power of what he did for us at Calvary 2,000 years ago, we are no longer bound for hell. And sometimes we're in pits. We don't realize we're in pits. Pits here, no longer hellbound, but still pits of maybe discouragement, pits of maybe depression, pits of hurt, pits of anger that hasn't been handled correctly, pits of unforgiveness, pits of bitterness, pits of resentment, pits that you're hurting, pits of lost jobs, pits of divorce. pits of broken relationships. Some are in some major pits of needing healing, physical, mental, emotional. But God has called us to be in his love and his unity, to be the hands, his feet. And we're not supposed to be wimpy Christians. We're supposed to be moving in his power, but filled with love and compassion. Jesus took time for others. Mark chapter 1, verses 26 and 28 says, "And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." Well, that same authority that in Mark chapter 1, in verse 40 and 42, it goes on to say, "Now the leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'Jesus, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." And Jesus wants us to be his hands and his feet. We have the authority that Jesus said, as we've seen in Mark 1, 26 and 28. We have that same authority that they saw. They were going, "How does he do this? He's speaking to this darkness, these unclean spirits," and they are listening to him and obeying him. And we have that same authority, and we need to move in that authority. And we need to move with his compassion. And we need to take time. Our mission, God, our focus, God did not call us ever to be comfortable, safe, risk-free, free Christians. No. Jesus didn't come to make us safe. Death is ultimate statistic, right? One out of one will die. But we need to get ourselves out of ourselves. We need to get away from ourselves. And I mean, we need to be totally surrendered to the Lord, just as Jesus did. He left heaven to be able to come in a humble situation to die on the cross for us. We need to give ourselves to the Lord and say, "I'm yours, Lord. Fill me, use me, send me. I am yours. Here I am, Lord. I will be your hands and your feet as you direct." But we need to look at the example of Acts 3. Do you remember this one where Peter and John, the first time that he's healing them? Do you remember? Slide 74 shows this, and it's an Italian plaque. It's kind of like oxymoron because it's in silver and gold. But Peter and John, verse 6, that, you know, they say, Hey, you know, we're this gentleman outside of the synagogue, the church, you know, area, the synagogue, and he's begging for alms. And then on the picture of 76, there's one, and it shows a woman begging for alms, and it shows a man, like, giving money. But then it shows Peter and John up at the top, and they're reaching the hand. And so this gentleman is asking for alms, and then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So how many of you feel that you sometimes don't have that faith, right? You feel like you have mustard seed size faith? Oops. So I want you to pass this around. I want you to take at least one. You can pour it into your hands, so if you get more, that's fine. I want you to take at least one mustard seed. All of us need to hold this right now. We need to hold this mustard seed. There's a point that is going to be made in this. We all have this faith, the size of a mustard seed, that the Lord promised that we can move mountains with the faith the size of a mustard seed. But we have an example. Some of us remember when we were praying and say it, and the prayer was like, "Some, Lord, do not have the means of being able to tithe or give offerings. So maybe some cannot give those alms to somebody. But it's a heart issue. God wants to see where is your heart. And so Peter and John at that point in time did not have the money to give him, this gentleman that was asking for alms, correct? He didn't have that. But what did he have was the power, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he didn't just speak the name, he reached out and helped the gentleman. He didn't just say, okay, yeah, you're healed, and then go on. No, he stayed to reach out and help the gentleman. This was the example he had. So as you're holding this seed, I'm going to go on to read. I mean, this man is like so excited, right? I mean, he's healed. It says, and then they took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, we know this is a miracle, right? Because if he's been lame for a while, we know the muscles are not going to be working that way. So this is a total and complete miracle. Strengthened right there, immediately. Boom, pow, bang. Okay, and so there he is. And then we see in verse 16, because they're all talking, well, you know, how this happened. I don't know, you know. And so they're like murmuring and all this kind of stuff, you know, as you'll hear people. And it's like, well, then he goes. And his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, this is verse 16, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Jesus has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, I want you to hold that mustard seed of faith. It is the faith of God. He is just taking you that you believe. And when you are struggling, you say, Lord, help my unbelief. And it's not your faith that makes them strong. It is his faith attached to that mustard side seed faith. Now, maybe you have bigger faith, and that's great. But all you need is that mustard seed size faith. So we're going to start claiming that we will do even greater things than Jesus did. Because we have the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to tell others to rise up and walk and get out of that pit. And that is to us too. Because I know I've been in pits before. And I no longer want to be a pit Christian. I want to be an out of the pit Christian. One that is mighty for the Lord. Walking and claiming that territory that God is with me wherever I go. And I have the power of his name. The power of his blood. The power of his resurrection. The power of the body that was broken for me. I have that power and the fullness of my heavenly Father with me. And I know that he will honor that. And I know I need to just rule out any of the reasoning and just have that mustard seed faith. And God's faith will attach that. And we will see that the manifestation of this house being a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. So we will move as the bride of Christ in the power of the Lion of Judah. We will have that power with us, and we will be mighty. We will look pretty, but we will be mighty. And we will be ready because we are looking, waiting, watching for Jesus' return. But still, we have much work to do. And we need to help others. Those that are Christians that are weakened, we need to help them with loving hands and reach and help them up. Those that are in pits. And we may, I don't desire to be in a pit again, but if I'm in a pit again, I know Jesus will be there to help me out of my pit again and help me to refocus. And that's what we are. But those that are in a pit of hell that they don't even realize they are hell bound, we need to help them out of that pit and be heaven bound. And we can, as we are continually in the Word, praying and watching and looking and listening to the Holy Spirit, leading us, guiding us, because we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Each and every day, we are always praying. We are going ape, not only for Pathway of Hope, but for the world. Mm-hmm.
Because yes, God has placed us and we are to pray and reach this community and way beyond. And then we need to never forget about the world. But we will hit Tucson and beyond because we are the Lord's army. We're on a mission from God. Amen. And we're going to gather together as soldiers praying, claiming this word. But our commander in chief that we should constantly and completely salute to is our Heavenly Father. For we are soldiers for Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We will, even bikers, can be bikers, can be, yes, we love you bikers. Serving faithfully and faithfully serving, they can be soldiers for Christ too. But every day we need to be as if we're looking in the mirror. And we may just have our pants on and a shirt on, but in the mirror we need to remember we are wearing Jesus, the armor of God, and he is the one that put that helmet of salvation upon us. We are wearing his belt of truth. We are wearing the breastplate of righteousness. We are wearing the shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are wearing the shield of faith. We are wearing the sword of the Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, the helmet of salvation. We are wearing fully the armor of God when we have Jesus on us. And we need to remember, he's saying, it's like he's kissing our head, soldier, I have an assignment for you today. And I'm there for you every step of the way. Because he says, my blood was shed, so receive it because your chains are broken. Receive and be free. Be free in me because there's power in my name. There's power in my name. And now that there's power in your name and those chains have been taken off of your wrists, you need to reach and help others that are in the pit and help them to be receiving the power of the name. For the truth will set us free, and Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. In Jesus' name, we need to reach out and help others to rise up and walk and get out of their pits. We need to continually move in the power, in his power, for there is power in the name of Jesus. Just as we saw those examples of Peter and John healing that man, and we have these different pictures showing that. I love the last one on slide 77. It's simple. But to me, we need to remember that childlike faith. That's why I've added that picture. Because we need to have that childlike faith. And slide 75, I like this one because it shows the halos. And in a sense, we need to remember that. That we are like, in a sense, marked by the blood of Jesus. And we are walking out in that authority. We are saints. We are soldiers for Christ. And we need to remember that, ready or not, as slide 78 shows, Jesus is coming soon. And because some are not ready for him, and that's why we need to go out on this mission field and help them to know Jesus and help them to get out of the pits and help them to be strong soldiers and brides for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God and his power to be shown in them and through them because of what Jesus did for them, for he did it for all of us. So we need to stay strong. Jesus is coming soon. We need to stay strong. We need to have that childlike faith and stay strong. And we need to remember to be disciples for Christ. We need to have the power that Jesus saves, the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the divine healer, the great physician with us, the power of the soon coming King. We need to walk in all authority because we have that. God made us to be mighty men and women of valor. And we need to do this for his glory, for our Father's glory, for we are empowered to do so in and through him and for him. May you be blessed. Pastor Janet, we're going to have our prayer altar ministry time. Thank you.
He has set my feet upon a rock, and I will not be moved, and I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion,
I'm going to pray the prayer of benediction for each and every one. Those that are here and those that will be listening to this. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the power of your precious holy word. I now declare, claim, proclaim, pray Numbers 6, 24 through 26 for each and every one. May you, Lord, bless each one. May you, Lord, watch over each one, guard each one, and keep each one. May you, Lord, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one. Be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to each one. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon them and give each one your peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. For we thank you and praise you that the peace that you give is not like the world gives. May they walk in, move in, breathe in, be all in the power of your peace for your glory, to your glory. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.